And before I get started, I want to ask a question. Maybe you can tell me after church. And what was, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, what was what was his last words he said, but what was some of the first things that happened after he said it was finished? What was some of the first things that happened after he said it was finished? And then after church, we'll see how good we are at our trivia game. In Isaiah chapter, 38, verse 1, I'm going to read a few verses. I need y'all to really pray. I'm like Kevin. I've been sick for the last 4 or 5 days. My blood pressure's running real high. I got an ear infection. But my mom said, James, won't you just tell them you can't do it? I said, Mom, I might not never ever get another chance. And that's the way I look at it. And I just thank God that Kevin gives me enough confidence in me to let me do it and to give me the chance to do it. And I appreciate y'all trusting Kevin. So let's pray for Kevin and his family. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and we're going to bring a little message here. Father, we just want to thank you for your time. We want to thank you for your love and your kindness for each one of us being here. God, we know a lot of people sick right now, and there's people Scott said, in the nursing home, would like to be here, being in wheelchairs. But God, you allowed us to be here today, and God, I just let be lifted up in your Holy Spirit tonight. Be with Kevin and him as they're at home, and his son, and that you'd lift them up and touch them. And God, we just thank you for all you've given us and all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. This message is a message for me, because this message was given to me when I was sitting in a hospital fixing to have eye surgery for the second time. And I thought, man, God, what did you give me this one for? Because if you read it, it's kind of gloomy. But you got to think about it. You got to study the history of King Hezekiah. He was not being punished for something he'd done bad. It was just his time to go. But Hezekiah loved Israel so much, or Judea so much, that he wanted to hang around a little bit longer because he wanted these things to come to pass before he passed away. But he wasn't going to get to see them. So that's the reason he's fixing to get a touch of the horns of the altar right here. It says, you know, when King Hezekiah said right in here, he says, and Isaiah the prophet came unto him and saying, set thy house in order, for thou shalt surely die. Now, that ain't really great words to listen to when you got somebody come and tell you. I know I've been in hospital rooms. I've been in other areas where the doctor came in or somebody's come in and said, you got a week to live. You got 4 or 5 days to live. That ain't great words to hear. So you think what Hezekiah felt like. He wasn't thinking like, man, God's just going to jump off the walls here and bless me all over. He wasn't thinking that, because you got to think like what we'd think. Because I was thinking as I was trying to get ready for this today, is when my dad, he went in to have gallbladder surgery, and when the surgeon come in after they brought him back to the room, they says, we got some bad news. He's got stage 4 liver cancer. He's just got a few months to live, and there wasn't no hope. You know, I mean, that like dumped all the blood down to your feet. I mean, you're thinking, you wasn't expecting them kind of news. And so, I mean, God had to, that's where I found out where grace was. I found out where God surrounds us with when we need it in that time. That's when he showed me his grace. But in these verses right here, it says that King Hezekiah done something. It says that King, in verse 2, it says, King Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And that's what I really want to kind of preach on, is praying. I don't know why, because I don't do enough of it myself, and I need a whole bunch of it. But, you know, because if we think about prayer, that is our only lifeline to God, is that us being humble enough to do that. And sometimes it might take tragedy to get us on our knees. Sometimes, but we need this to come before His courts with praise. That's what Kevin was trying to get us to think about. Now, as we see God start saving people, people coming to our church. Now, I wasn't here when there was 70-something people here, and now there's over 100-something people. I would be rejoicing a little bit. I mean, you can see what God is doing, the influence of what God is doing in this little church. And it ain't all just because of Kevin. It's because of everybody that's in this building. It's because you're letting God do what you want to do. It's through the singing. It's through the preaching. It's through y'all working with all the kids. It's working with the bus ministry. It's you work going to do that with the kids. And we don't, you know, you ain't got to ask us for our money, because that money's God's money. You know, I was thinking, I mean, you got to think everything that's going on right now in our lives, good or bad, God's allowing it to happen. I had surgery about 4 months ago on my hand. I had carpal tunnel, and something ain't went right. It ain't working exactly right. So where I work at, they told me they give you 6 months to heal up, and if you ain't 100%, but then they usually shoo you on out the door. So I got about a couple more weeks, and that's fixing to happen. And I'm thinking, well, God, I just bought a house. I got Abby. She's 8 years old. She's fixing to turn 9. I mean, I got some more schooling with her. I mean, why are you going to allow this to happen? So I talked, you know, me and Mama was talking about it. And I said, Mama, nothing's going to happen unless God wants it to happen. And if God lets it happen, then that's what's going to how it's going to be. And that's how I'm going to have to accept it. You know, I told my wife several months ago, and I'll never tell Melvin this, I told my wife this finally, and which is the hardest thing I ever told her, besides I love you, but... But the hardest thing I had to tell her, I says, I really feel like God wants me to go ahead and retire. I ain't old enough to retire, but go ahead and retire and go to full-time ministry somewhere. And then Mev and them showed up with this prison thing. And I just, if you ever go over one time, you'll want to go back. You just have to go. I mean, you have to get over the fear of it. And once you get over the fear of it, then you can go right on in there. Then you really enjoy yourself. But prayer is the biggest aspect of our lives. If we do little of that, we don't have nothing. I know they talked about some of the old priests and some of the people, they called them camel knees, because they stayed on their knees so much that their knees looked like camels. And that's why their knees, because they prayed so much. I met a missionary. I didn't meet her in person, but I got to talk to her on the phone. That was in the Philippines during World War II, and she was in captivity and all this, and they was fixing to behead her and all this kind of stuff. But she finally won the Karmadon over, and so they didn't execute her. But they executed her husband, they didn't execute her kids. Her kids starved to death. But she was the only one that survived. And she tells her story about how God took care of her in that tragic situation she was in the Philippines during the war with Japan. But, you know, prayer, she said, was her greatest ally. That's the only thing she had, was God coming and in places. And she said one night they was in one of their huts over there, and she said the village people was going to overtake their village to get their food, because everybody was starving to death because the Japanese was attacking everybody or putting them in jail or prison and stuff like that. So she said, we had our food in this one little tent, and we could hear people outside us going to do something, but we didn't know who it was. So she said she didn't find out till years later that some of the natives had come up there to steal the food. And she said, and one of the natives told her, says, well, the only reason we didn't come up there, because he said all them people were standing around y'all's buildings in white. And so we weren't going to come up there. There's too many people. They outnumbered us. So I thought, well, maybe that might have been the angels standing around them guarding them places, because if they took their food, then they'd have starved to death. But in that was prayer. That was the answer to prayer. And as we see, when King Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed, it says, And this is something I thought was very interesting. He said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept. And I thought, well, now, do we have to remember, tell God to remember what we have all done? Is that what he was trying to say? He said, now God, I've done all the things you've asked me to do. I've walked where you wanted me to walk. I went to do what you told me to do. And now, God, I mean, why have you got me in this situation? And I thought about Daniel in the lion's den. I thought about when Daniel was, faced, he could have not prayed three times a day. He could have not done all these things. He could have just said, nah, I ain't got time to do that, or well, I might get thrown in the lion's den if I do this and all that. But he went ahead and done it. And that's something that we have to focus in our heart, in our life, to make that the main focus, the first thing we get up every morning, the last thing we do every night before we go to bed. I know most men have, you got to kiss your wife before you go to bed. How many of y'all do that? Oh, my goodness. I got one hand. But, that's the thing that we need to think about. What is the most important thing in our lives? Because now, King Hezekiah here, he already got the death sentence. He's already knowed he was going to die. So what was he doing? He's saying, God, remember how I walked before you. I thought about Job, how he walked before God, and the devil was going, went before God and said, have you considered my servant Job? And he thought about all these things. I mean, he lost all his kids. He lost all his cattle. He lost everything he had. But still, he still walked before God. I mean, and that's where we need to be. In the hard times and in the good times, is always remember God is the one we have to trust in. I mean, and I'm going to tell my little story about when I was in the hospital and how this story came to me. Well, I had a piece of metal go through my eye, got a staph infection, and I had a lot of infection in the eye. So the doctor there was going to put 10 injections in my eye with his antibiotics. And then he said, I'm going to give you about 3 hours, and in 3 hours, if your eye's no better, we're going to take your eye out. And I wasn't thinking about that. Now, I'm over there crying, begging God. Squalling. I said, God, I preach, I go to prison, just like Hezekiah. I go to church, I do what you go. I go to all the revivals. My children are in church. We have our prayer list at home. We write down, all the kids write down the little names of the friends at school. We write down people that we want to see saved and things we need answered in our life. And we write all them things. I said, now, God, why are you letting all this happen? Why are you letting all this happen? I've tried to do everything you wanted me to do, but so why are you taking my eyesight? The thing that, as a preacher, you need the most. I mean, you can't read the Bible, which ain't that great at it anyway. But I mean, you need that part of your what would you call it? What do you call it? Okay, whatever. And so that's what Hezekiah was doing. So when he was weeping, now I was over on the side of the couch and I was over there squalling my eyes out and I had the Bible and I said, God, I know you ain't supposed to do this. I said, you're going to have to give me something. And this is what it fell into. I know that's not how you're supposed to do it, but that's what I did. And I started reading all that, and I thought, oh, my God, God's going to take me on out of here on this thing, because I've never had, I've never been, put to sleep and never had none of that done, all that kind of stuff. But, God come in that room, and it didn't matter what they done then. I knew then when God showed up, now I don't know, I can't tell you how he done it, but he just come in the room and he says, James, everything's going to be okay. So about 3 hours all rocked around, doctor comes in there. Now, you know how most doctors is. They ain't got no bedside manner and they ain't got a great personality. Most of them don't. He comes in there, puts my head in that little thing and looks in there and he looks at it. He looks at his nurse. He looks at it and looks at his nurse. He says, I can't believe it, but you ain't got no infection or nothing in your eye. So, I mean, and I didn't have to have surgery. I didn't have to have nothing done. And so God showed me that if I would turn my face towards the wall, and I would pray, and I would ask God, God showed me how to do it right then. Now, I know a lot of times God don't come on the scene right at that particular time when you really need him, you think you need him. And because he comes when when we least expect him to show up, that's when he finally shows up. And so that... As Hezekiah was weeping, and that's the first thing I want you to think about is having a weeping heart, a weeping soul to think about God. Now, I've cried more here at this church than I have probably the whole time I've been in church. I have, and it's because of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I sit over there and I get goosebumps all over me a lot of times. I wish I was a runner because I could really take some laps. But I'm not a shouter. I'm a squaller, I guess now. I don't know. But God is just allowing me to right now to really enjoy everything that God's done and what Kevin is, the way he's been preaching it, and the messages that's coming. But it's all because of prayer. Because none of these things could happen. Kevin can preach, but he can't do it unless somebody's praying for him. And I thought about something that a preacher told me one time when he was in World War II. He said that they had to do something on a certain time, but the enemy was on the other side of it. And it was something about run up the flag or had to get the flag off the thing, and they couldn't do it because of the enemy. And that guy says, well, I tell you what, I do it at 2 o'clock tomorrow. And he says, why 2 o'clock tomorrow? He said, because I know that's when my mom and them in the church is going to be praying for me. Now, us as younger generation, or y'all younger generation, y'all young boys, y'all don't know nothing about what the people in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s knows all about. We know what it was like not having nothing to eat. I didn't even know I was poor. I was in the second grade before I even had a running bathroom in our house. I didn't know we was poor till I was in the second grade, and I go, and we was in there, and people says, we want to come all night and stay all night with you. And I said, okay, come on over. And they didn't know we didn't have no plumbing or no, didn't have none of that stuff. They said, boy, you're poor. I didn't know it. But I mean, then I found out, you know, they didn't want to come on and stay all night much with me any much after that. But, you know, after a while, we did finally get all that stuff. But you know, those are just things that God has done. Let me get on down in here a little bit more. And it says, and when the words came into Isaiah saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayers and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee thy days 15 years. And you know, you see what the words, he says, I have heard thy prayers and I have seen thy tears. Now, I got a preacher friend, he's from North Carolina, and he said I was an alcoholic, drunk, stayed out all night, but he said my wife was a good praying woman. And I met him in a prison ministry at Brushy Mountain. And he says, James, he said, I'd come home, and he said that she'd have to help me in the house, and she'd have to go get me out of the car, or she'd have to go get me out of jail, and she all of this. And she said she prayed for me like 15 or 20 years. And he said, one night I come home, and I fell over everything in the house. She put me in the bed, covered me up, and he said I could hear her over her weeping, praying that God would save me. He says, God told me, he says, this is your last chance. He said he crawled down beside the bed and got saved right there. Now, you're talking about a far-burned preacher now, son. God got a hold of him. But it takes that consistent prayer. It might take 15 years to see that person. It might take 5 years for that person to get saved. But that's what it's going to take, is you're consistent, going before God, going before the throne of grace, asking God to do these things. You say, are we begging God? Yeah, I'm begging God. I'm begging God to save my kids. I got some older children that's... I got a little Marine. I call him my little Marine. He's a little 25-year-old little thunk head. Thanks, he did. But, you know, I want God to save him. I want God. I think God wanted to call him to preach when he was a young man, but he went out and got off in the Marines, and you know how them boys are. They just all crazy. How many Marines we got in here before I say all that? I know we got some military people in here. But, you know, I mean, you know, he's just... don't know where he needs to be right now. But God has got something for his life, and he just can't find it yet. And I keep telling him, I said, Ethan, if you ever just turn to the Lord, then you'll find out everything that you're going. He goes from this job to that job, from here to there. He's never satisfied, wondering. And I said, when you find Jesus, then all that wondering will stop. But you know, that's going to be a continual praying. He's 25, and I've been praying for him since he was born. And but God's going to save him one of these days. As we see this right down through here a little bit further, and it says, I seen thy tears, and I will add unto thee 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king. Now, I was thinking about that. I'm thinking about all of our adversaries. Everybody is always against us. I go to work, and we got people that say they're saved, and we got people that are saved. But you know, there's a lot of adversaries, because I mean, Church people are the worst people I've ever been around. I mean, I'll just be honest. They are the hardest people to forgive you. Go do something wrong. Go do something wrong and see what happens. Your wife leaves you. Your husband leaves you. Your kids get sick. Your house gets burned down too. The first thing you're going to say was karma, karma, karma. All the bad things you've ever done. And the church people, they get to thinking, they get to talking around, getting around each other. And they says, well, there must be something really bad wrong with him because all these bad things has happened to him. It ain't all these bad things. Maybe God's got that's God's way of getting that person back to him. Maybe that's God's way of just molding him, making him and what he needs to make him out of. But, you know, we've looked at a couple of people. We've looked at David. David in the Old Testament. Let me go there real quick. I think it's Psalms 51. And let's turn right there real quick. And then I'll try to hush. Psalms 50. Now listen to what David says. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitudes of tender mercies. It says, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sins, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sins is ever before me. Against thee have I sinned, and against thee, and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou art dust, darst turn truth into the inward part, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. But what David right there, I think he kind of was getting down to where the rubber meted the road there. Because he was saying, have mercy on me, God. I think the worstest thing, I mean, and the only way I can describe it is when one of your kids and you are not getting along real good. And you got that disagreement between each other. And we ain't getting along with each other. That's how it is between you and God. When you ain't doing what God wants you to do, and you know you ain't doing what God wants you to do, That's where you ain't feeling him no more, and that's the worst. And that's what David was feeling right here. He said, saying, because he said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And that's the first thing most people got to do is acknowledge. Now that's the hardest thing for most of us to think about, that we do sin every day, whether we think about it sometimes, or we mentally do it, or we do it. We transgress against God. It says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clean when thou judgest. Because when God judges us, he's going to judge us on what we did, not what they did, what this one's done. Well, they made me do it. The devil made me do it. It ain't going to be none of that. When we stand before God and give an account for the deeds that we've done in this body, it's going to just be us. It ain't going to be nobody else around. And we're going to stand there with a saying, oh God, yeah, it's me. And I got one more verse I want to read, and then this is to bring us back closer to God again. And it is so familiar. It's Psalms 23. Now, I learned this verse when I was in the first grade. I know none of y'all did that, or the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. We did that every morning before we started class every day. And I learned this verse when I was in the first grade. Psalms 23, it says, for the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's all I'm going to preach on. And all I want to do now is, as we get ready to leave, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I want us to say the Psalms 23, and we'll be ready to go. if that's all right with everybody. Lord, we just thank you again for your time. God, I know we stumbled around on a lot of things, and God, we just ask you just to bless your word. Your word is what we come here to listen to, and God, we just ask you to bless each one here. We know each person's, you know each person's heart, and you know each person's need. God, we just ask you to bless them. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. And if you don't mind, can we stand and do the Lord's Prayer? I mean, not the Lord, Psalms 23. How many learned that in school? Now, young people, see what y'all missed out on? And we got whippings in school, too. Okay, starting with in Psalms 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, though thou prepare the table before me in presence of my enemies, thou anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Did anybody figure out what my trivia question was? Huh? Veil of the temple was rent in twain. That's how we got prayer. That's why I wanted you to think about that. Because if the temple, if that hadn't have been ripped in two, we would never have had access before between us and God. Good night. Thank you.